The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
We're back for the Melbourne Cup Week edition of Moody on the mic. There are some races you wish you could win. And when you wish hard enough, sometimes you win them. Peter Moody, Golden Eagle winning trainer. The time-honoured Golden Eagle. I know when you're a young boy growing up in Western Queensland, no doubt you wished you could win the Golden Eagle, and now you've done it.
That was top of the pops. People talk Melbourne Cups and Cox Plates and Golden Slippers, but the Golden Eagle was the race I dreamed of, and it came to fruition. I had to wait 52 years, and look what happened. See, all good things come to those that wait, patience.
It's only been going 4 years, Moods.
Oh, I'm sure there was a golden something.
Something to do with footwear, I think it was, Moods. But obviously you had three runners in the race. Chain of Lightning, she looked like she was going to get there for a time. Then all of a sudden, Wooshka down the outside. I wish I win. The horse that you part own, which means your share of a very lucrative prize money check, was bigger by which horse won. So I'm surprised you even bothered to join us today.
Mate, I'm loyal. I'm a man of the people, Rog. I'm a man of the people. Listen, it was a massive thrill. It was an unusual occurrence. Luke Nolan and I, we actually travelled up and back together, totally unbeknownst to ourselves, on the same plane, and then we shared a card. It was a strange feeling after winning it. That's the biggest financial reward we'll ever have in racing, in winning that race on Saturday. But I suppose because it's new, it hasn't been around long, it probably doesn't have the prestige of a Slipper or a Doncaster or a Caulfield and Melbourne Cup or whatever. It was pretty hollow, but Luke quickly corrected me and said, when the check arrives, it'll feel a bit different. So it was a massive thrill. It was a big day, and thanks to all my team and Waikato Stud, my partners. It was a big day, and it'll be cherished for a long, long time.
We were watching on the lawn with Mrs. Moody and two of your three daughters, Moods, and what you've just said is spot on, because Sarah Moody, who runs the accounts for Moody Racing and does a bloody good job, she's the expert on that field. Some would say she's the brains behind the Brains Trust. She was talking to one of my mates, and my mate said to her, you've just won your first prize check for this is more than the Melbourne Cup. And she said, no, it can't be more than the Melbourne Cup. But yeah, it's more than the Melbourne Cup. Trust me, $5.5 million is more than you get for winning the Melbourne Cup, which nearly made her fall over, which just shows the enormity that these races have had. And we laugh about the pop-ups, but, I mean, it's unbelievable for racing participants to be exposed to that level of prize money and that, that prize. I mean, your check, Moods, must be close to $1 million for going and winning the little pop-up. It's better than the trophy. The trophy looks pretty good. Can we throw anything else in, Rog?
Well, it's funny you say that, actually, because last week when we were speaking about this race and what it'd be like to win the 4X Golden Eagle, Moods actually threw it out there that he thought that if he won, he should get his body weight in 4X. And Peter, it's my great pleasure to announce that I had a chat to the managing director of 4X, or for Lion Nathan, at the races on Cup Day, and I've been in touch with the company this morning, and the good people at 4X, one great Queensland brand, would like to award another great Queenslander. And your body weight in 4X Gold will be delivered to Pakenham Stables next week, in addition to the prize money and that magnificent trophy. So that is an absolute triple threat right there for winning the 4X Golden Eagle.
I hope you told them that I like big bottles, Rog, and my weight's ballooned out to 873 kilos.
I said, are we going to do Peter's weight, or are we going to do the horse's weight? Although there probably isn't a great deal in it at this point of time. But no, they're going to look after you with a fair amount of 4X. The exact measurements will be up to you and the scales. But I do suggest water loading before the truck arrives next week.
No, looking forward. Listen, it was great. And listen, as Anthony knows from winning the Invitational the week before with Promise to Success, these are terrific prize money races put on by Racing New South Wales and the ATC. And we've harped on about it over the show and a period of time about the competition between New South Wales and Victoria and the bit of a pissing contest. But the interest that these races create has been phenomenal. And for me to experience that firsthand last Saturday, and the fact that 10% of prize money goes to different charities. We were Muscular Dystrophy was our charity of choice with I Wish I Win. 570,000 to that charity. And to see the what it meant to those people to know that money was going to the charity there at the races on Saturday, that was as special as winning the race. It was a phenomenal feel, and just goes to show how good and how terrific racing is for the community as a whole. We get a lot of kicks against us, but to be able to do that and be a part of it, that was very special.
I just want to ask, Mootsy, you've spoken already about the fact that you and Catherine Coleman will be going into a training partnership before too long. We thought you were waiting for the Melbourne Cup or maybe the Caulfield Cup and that to go by the wayside. Was it actually that you're just waiting to pick up the big fat check for the Golden Eagle before you go into a formal partnership with Catherine Coleman? Is that correct?
No, nothing there. Everything we earn goes into the business, Rog, so that's not an issue there. The prize money doesn't go into my pocket or into anyone else's. It goes into the business. There's a lot of costs in running a racing stable, and it'll be absorbed very quickly, I can tell you that.
Well, there was another big race this week, and we're recording this on Wednesday evening. For the first time in, I think, about a month, we're recording this, and it was, of course, the Melbourne Cup run on Tuesday. Everyone was chips in on the favourite, Deauville Legend, right up until about 3 hours before the jump when it started to drift. But Gold Trip, who had only won one race, and Mark Zara, who, Moods, I know you rate pretty highly and might be one of the more underrated jockeys in terms of outside of the inner circle, if there's probably a better way of putting that. But he's now standing himself as a household name. He's a Melbourne Cup winning jockey, and Gold Trip with the second win of its career as a Melbourne Cup winner as well.
Yeah, listen, phenomenal performance. And in hindsight, you know, with the soft run and the Cox Plate, he beat the penalty in running second in the Caulfield Cup. He was probably the logical one of the locals. I didn't find him, but, you know, there was a doubt on his ability to run the 2 mile. And like you said, the favourite chances might have gone slightly by the wayside with the wet weather. But congratulations to all connections there. Kieran Maher, Dave Eustace, massive effort. Mark Zara, I don't think he's underrated. He's held in high esteem in all racing circles when it comes to his jockeyship. And you know, that was phenomenal performance and well rewarded. A horse that came out here last year for the Cox Plate, ultimately, and had issues and wasn't allowed to run. And now, 12 months down the track, they've been rewarded with a Melbourne Cup. So tremendous to all involved there. And, you know, you only went back as far as yesterday, Rod. You go back, you know, Chris Waller and Michael D winning his second big one of the carnival with the Derby on Saturday. And what a rewarding day for Brad Witt up and Team Ice Bath in winning the Empire Rose also on Saturday, a mare that we've all felt deserved of a big race win. I think she'd won $5.5 million in prize money and hadn't won a Group 1 until Saturday. So it's been a tremendous first 2 days of the Flemington Carnival, 2 days to go, and, you know, really looking forward to the finale on Saturday.
Well, she hadn't even won a stakes race before the weekend. She'd run second in Group 1 five times, so it really was the fairy tale of the carnival to date. Rayman, you are here if your audio is working a little bit better, but are we going to see perhaps now, we saw the Melbourne Cup winner come out of the Cox Plate last year, Barry Elegant ran fourth in the Cox Plate this year. You could argue a case that Gold Trip, if it had got a better ride, would have been a bit further up in the Cox Plate and it's come out and won the Melbourne Cup. We're going to see the Cox Plate has become a real form reference now for a Melbourne Cup winner.
So we do seem to ebb and flow with what is the trendy lead-up race, Rog, because there was a time about 10 years ago where the Ludbrokes Cox Plate, before it was the Ludbrokes Cox Plate, was the key lead-up race. We saw Green Moon come out of a really tough run in the Cox Plate in 2012 to win the Melbourne Cup, and then Fiorente did the exact same thing the year later in 2013. Before that, the Geelong Cup was the race where we saw Americane and Dunedin come out of the Geelong Cup in back-to-back years. Bauer almost did it. Media Puzzle came through the Geelong Cup. In recent times, it's been running the Melbourne Cup fresh off the plane, when before that, it was considered you put the pen through the internationals that hadn't had a lead-up run in Australia. So there's all it all seems to go. But the way the Melbourne Cup has been in recent years, where the class has come through at the top. We saw last year in the Melbourne Cup, the three highest rated horses in the race finished in the trifecta. And we've seen Gold Troop carry a big weight to win the Melbourne Cup. So in recent years, it has been the class has been at the top of the weights has prevailed.
Great for the regions as well, Mytho. You know, the Bendigo Cup and the Geelong Cup winner finishing second and third in the Melbourne Cup. So, you know, like Roman says, maybe there is a shifting of the tide into what the lead-up races, the trendy ones for the next couple of years at least to come.
Well, that's right. And don't forget the Gold Trip, you could say, also came through the Caulfield Cup, which in the last decade or so has been an amazing reference point for the winner of the Melbourne Cup. So I can't think of the last horse that ran in all three and was able to win the Melbourne Cup, Caulfield, Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup. So well done to Mar Eustace's team. Particularly, it's funny, well, it's the first for both of them. You feel like there's more in store for Kieran and Dave, given the army of horses they've got and their thirst for those international horses that they seem to have. But I think probably Dave Eustace has taken that to next level and been able to source those with his connections up there. And obviously coming from Europe himself and his brother being a trainer and father as well. So, you know, I was particularly pleased for Dave, who had a fair bit to do with Moods, was an understudy at Moody Racing in its first life. And he's spread his wings and done a great job, hasn't he, Moods?
Yeah, no, he has, and he's really grown since his inception with Kieran in the partnership there. So they've continued to grow and develop. It's a corporation, Mar Eustace Racing, and they've got a massive team. They've got four or five stables, dual state, and, you know, they do a hell of a job in winning a lot of races. And, you know, they're very youthful as well. So they're going to be around for a long time to come. So... you know, well done. They go out there, they do the hard yards, they put together a big team and they deserve the rewards, as do Australian Bloodstock. They're a team that have sourced a lot of these horses overseas, but also source a lot of horses locally as well. They invest a lot of money, a lot of time. They bring in a lot of new people to racing and they deserve all the success as well. So no, congratulations right round there. And, you know, they're going to be a force for many years to come. Five runners in the Melbourne Cup was a phenomenal effort there on Tuesday, and you know, I wouldn't think their week's finished yet.
Well, I suppose the big question now is, do you reckon Kieran will get home before Champions Day?
Yeah, he's not home yet, surely. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon. He couldn't be at home, could he?
I wouldn't have thought so. And the other big question is there any danger of Moods making an appearance at Flemington, because he's had only one more runner so far of this carnival than he had when he was on hiatus?
Yes. No, we've had a very quiet week. We had one runner that ran very well yesterday without winning. I think we've got two tomorrow and maybe two on Saturday. So, like I said to you last week, we're sort of firing all our bullets at Rose Hill. Our two trump cards in I Wish I Win and Chain of Lightning headed there. And I can see I Wish I Win's ears, and he's rubbing up against Incentivise in the paddock just behind where I'm sitting here at the moment at home. And pretty exciting to see those two boys in the paddock. I'm just disappointed Incentivise didn't get his day in the sunshine with I Wish I Win this week. But let's hope we're in for a big autumn with both those boys. And Chain of Lightning's over the back paddock in the girls' paddock. She jarred up a little bit there at Rose Hill on Saturday. And we didn't see the best of her, but she's now 6 from 8, her record. It's starting to fall apart, isn't it? Only winning 6 from 8, that's a terrible record. But let's hope we can... get her back on track for the autumn also. But quite weak, but an enjoyable week. And listen, I enjoy watching good horses race, and we're going to see that aplenty on Saturday at Flemington.
Next up, we have a mate dedication from Tim to Andy.
Andy, I'll never forget the day that you loaned me that slick tie so I could get into the members. Sorry, I lost it, champ.
Sounds like a legend. Ladbroker together this spring carnival with Mates Mo.
Thank you.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
The rebrand of Final Day at Flemington to Champions Day has been an absolutely brilliant move. And we've got three crackers, and I don't think there's too many stars missing, Rayman. Let's kick off with the Champion Sprint. And, well, this is mouthwatering because we've got Nature Strip, Giga Kick and Bella Nipotina headlining. what looks an absolute belter.
Yeah, we get the big rematch here. Rog from the Everest, Nature Street versus Giga Kick. And then you've got Bella Nipotina, who ran a monster rating when she absolutely blitzed him in the Ladbrokes Manicato Stakes in that last race on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. Nature Street is the clear favourite to bounce back here. He's $2.10, and I'm with the champ. I think he can bounce back here in a big way down the famous Flemington Straight. He was entitled to knock up worse than he did in that Everest. They went very, very quick early. He was forced to do a lot of work in the early stage of the race, and you only have to look to see where Eduardo finished. The horse that sort of went toe-to-toe with him early to show just how quick they did go. So I think down the Flemington Straight, where Nature Strip's got a brilliant record, they don't normally go in our straight races. They generally don't normally go too quick early. He normally gets a chance to sort of work into his rhythm, and then he trusts in the race like he did in this race last year and just pulls away. And I think he is, if he brings anything like his best form, he's still the best sprinter in the world, and he'll get the chance to show that again down the Flemington Straight. Really excited to see what Giga Kick does here, though, because if Giga Kick can come out and beat Nature Strip again down the straight, we've got a new super, we've got a new megastar on our hands. If he can do it again and beat Nature Strip once again, so it sets up for a really exciting race. But I'm with Nature Strip to bounce back here, and anything better than $2, I think, is a good price.
Rayman's audio is a bit scratchy, so apologies to that, listeners. But what he says is bang on. This is going to be a cracking race. I've got absolutely no idea who's going to win. I'm barracking for what I want to see happen. And what I want to see happen is for Giga Kick to stamp himself as that megastar that Rayman just said and see off a Nature Strip challenge in a Bella Nipotina, who could very well. I mean, there's no reason why she can't come out and beat them as well. Nature Strip is a superstar. Maybe he didn't get the best ride in the Everest, but I'm not saying he's lost anything. I'd really like to see a changing of the guard, though, and a win for our friend of the show, Clayton Douglas.
Well, it's tricky, though, Rog, isn't it? Because, you know, J-Mac, it's we're almost going to rebrand Moody on the mic to J-Mac on the mic there last season. And we've, I think we've spoken to him once, maybe twice this season. So he's very much a friend of the show. And good news for regular listeners is that Jay Carr committed on Friday to coming on the show in the next couple of weeks, rounding out her spring carnival and having a chat to us in the next couple of weeks. So we'll look forward to that. So she's a friend of the show. And then Clayton Douglas, what a job he did coming on last minute, winning the Everest and coming on as the winning trainer. So I'm going to just box those three in a trifecta.
Oh, that's brave of you. You box the even money favourite, the 5-2 second favourite, and the 3-1 third favourite. So that's going to pay a mozza. That'll get the punters up and about. So that's terrific there. Well,
what are you going to tip, Pete?
I'm going to tip the even money favourite, but I'm not.
Right. Well, I bet you the trifecta pays more.
Listen, I'm going with the old champ Nature Strip. Giga Kick, the heir apparent. It, like Roger said, it's a dream, and we've been looking for an heir apparent for a few years, and he did roll in another day. But I just think Nature Strip stats, third up, he's looking for a peak performance. Have Giga Kick and Bella Nipotina had their peaks at their last run, it would be hard to think that they're going to lift the bar again this current preparation. Maybe they do, but Nature Strip, third up, undeniably is at the peak of his powers. If they beat him, they're just plain and simple better than him. But I don't think they are at this stage of their careers. They might end up being better. Maybe Giga Kick will, but no, Nature Strip, he wins. The track's going to be probably close to good on Saturday. I would suggest Liam O'Keefe might even have to water on Friday, which is stupid to suggest after the weather that we have had. And he should be too good. Is there a knockout there? I don't know. Listen, it's hard to argue away from your trifecta. We know something will stick their head up and run well. Could it be an Argentia? Could it be a Masked Crusader if he steps away right? But I can't see any of them beating Nature Strip.
I suppose the little nagging question, I don't know what sort of agreement they've got, but Caitlin Mellion is heavily pregnant. And potentially, if maybe J-Mac doesn't ride Nature Strip on Saturday, maybe he's in a birthing suite in Sydney. I don't know, but that's just maybe one to think about. Sam Friedman with Argentia winning on the weekend, I was standing with Sam in the mounting yard, and I said, I reckon that's the first time I didn't back her. And he goes, never back her again then. So I'm not going to back her this Saturday. Let's move on now to the Champions Mile. And Rayman is, he's coming back. It's a dodgy connection for our good friend up north. Rayman, run us through the market for the Champions Mile, because this race, potentially, compared to the other two, is maybe a little bit short on star power, but there's still some quality horse flesh in the race.
Yeah, it might be short on star power, Rog, but it might be the most interesting race of the lot. We've got Private Eye, who's been over the sprint troops this preparation, now gets his crack at the mile. Alligator Blood and Mr. Brightside drop back from the weight for age ranks at 2,000 metres of the Ladbrokes plate back to this race. And you've got My Oberum, who's absolutely flying, and Cascading as well. So it's a really interesting race. It's packed full of quality chances. And I'm backing the horses coming out of the Ladbrokes Cox plate at the current odds. So I think Alligator Blood's a very big price here. He was gallant in those two runs at 2,000 metres. We saw him beat the likes of Zaki and I'm Thunderstruck in the Underwood Stakes at Ladbrokes Park Sandown. And he was certainly not disgraced in either the Might and Power or the Ladbrokes Cox plate. He was in that Ladbrokes Cox plate for a long way. So I think he's really well suited back to a mile. We know he loves Flemington. He'll go forward like he always does, makes his own luck, and he's going to give them plenty to chase. So I'm really keen here, Alligator Blood. And I think Mr. Brightside has been ticking along nicely, probably just not quite up to the class required at 2,000 metres. But I think he could be a better horse at 1,600 metres. And just at the... You're getting $9 for him in a really good race. I just have to back him at that price. But no knock on Private Eye, who's absolutely flying this preparation. And he's just a marvel, this horse. He finished a close second in an Everest. He's going to go into a Champions Mile as a favourite. He's a bit of a relic from an old times gone past, where we did used to run our best horses in all sorts of races. So I hope he runs well as well. But it's Alligator Blood and Mr. Brightside on top for me.
Well, back Private on the weekend in Sydney, there was a flashing red light the way. He just stormed home, and his prep has been unbelievable. So the only blemish is that second beaten under half a length, 2 Giga Kick in the Everest. He is getting a bit short, though. I mean, he's been 360 into 310 already since markets opened. So Alligator Blood does certainly present the value at $6. And also, My Oberon was terrific when he first up at the Valley a couple of weeks ago. Similar ownership group, My Oberon, to Zaki. And there was question marks as to whether Zaki would go to the 1,600 or the 2,000. But I think the ownership group got a little bit greedy and they wanted to have a runner in both. So My Oberon goes to the mile and Zaki goes into the Champion Stakes. But I've got Private Eye on top. I'm hoping we might get a better price on the day. But Private Eye from Alligator Blood for me.
I'm going the old boy, Cascadian. That was a dominant display up there in Sydney in what was only Group 3 company last start. But I just love the way this horse is going. A horse in form, an old gelding that they've persevered with because he loves racing. You know, he's the pin-up boy against these tree huggers, as Moods would call them, that want to ban racing. I mean, this horse is proof in itself that horses like to run. They like to run fast. They like to race. So I'm going for Cascadian to wave the flag for all of us that love racing. So if you love racing, have a dollar each way on Cascadian.
Yeah, well, I've found a totally different form line again. Rog touched on it. I thought my Oberon was superb. First run in Australia at the Valley the other day, and reportedly going to be better on top of the ground. Can he repeat that performance? Listen, I don't know. The world's best trainer, Annabelle Neesham, steering the ship. I just thought he was absolutely superb. The forgotten horse, Tuvalu. He's got the I wish I win form out of the Toorak handicap. He's only coming into this third up. It's going to be a peak performance. Both those two horses, I think, racing for a $1 million bonus off their Toorak and Waterford Crystal Mile wins. So massive payday for them. So 9 from 8 for me. But listen, nothing in this race would surprise. The only one out of form is the old champ Colding up the top there. And he's been a super horse for a long time. You know, anything could win without surprising, but I'm just thinking Tuvalu and My Oberon, they've been aimed at this race. And I think it's a target race where a few of the others might be here as a little bit of an afterthought and banking on that factor. So 9 from 8. You'd have to put it in the field for your trifectas. I reckon anything's a chance here.
Speaking of target race versus afterthought, Rayman, is there a case there that maybe that's what gets Animo beaten this weekend? Of course, the Cox Plate champion being undefeated all preparation, but as we head into this one, this is like having in the international rules series after the grand final.
Yeah, he's looking to cap off the perfect spring here, Roger, and he is the clear favourite. Has been good support, though, for Iams Thunderstruck, who many would argue was unlucky not to beat Animo in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And I'm going for another horse that has come from the same form line and maybe just losing a little bit of respect with the market here, and that is Zaki, who there was $9 available when markets first went live this afternoon, now into $7.50 with Ladbrokes. But I don't think there's as much between Zaki, I'm Thunderstruck, and Animo as this current market suggests. He's been right there in those two weight for age races in the Might and Power and the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, but in under two lengths in that Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And he's the one I just have the most faith in to run his race, Zaki. He's a very consistent horse. He always rates around the same level. This spring, that level hasn't been quite good enough to win these feature races. But if we don't see the best of Animo, who was set for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, was his target all preparation long, this is clearly an afterthought, he doesn't bring you the best, then Zaki's the horse there to beat him. And we know that I'm Thunderstruck always does need things to go his way just because of his racing pattern. So that leaves me there just having a little bit of a play here at Zaki at the price. Certainly no knock on Animo. I'd like to see him cap off that perfect spring, but just a little niggle for me at the price.
Yeah, and you're spot on, listeners, if you are wondering that Rayman is making this podcast from an old rotary phone inside a closet. So that is what we're dealing with here. I'm going to play around Animo. I might do a Rain Man here and just have a few little specs at odds. Elliptical on 51 kilos, who they did toy with the idea of going to the Cox Plate and then ran second up in Sydney last start. Instead, goes in here at 14-1 or 13-1, $14. I think Elliptical is worth a little bit each way. Maybe even on a good four. Does Maximal finally get his crack? Although he does carry 59 kilos, and we think maybe Iams Thunderstruck, Zaki, and co. are better. But I might, at $34, I might have a couple of dollars on Maximal, just for our old mate Mytho. I think Elliptical's worth about $5, and Iams Thunderstruck, I think, might get his chance. But I'm not going to take $220 about Animo for an afterthought.
You give me a shot in the arm there, Rog, with Maximal. He is going to need a good track. There's no doubt about that. But the forecast is extremely promising, and all other factors point to this horse running a huge race. So ran into Ben Mellon before they ran the first race there on Saturday, Derby Day, and his opening comments and all he wanted to chat about was how well this horse was going and what a feel he'd given him, and he couldn't believe how well he was travelling coming to the corner during the Cox Plate, looked over at Animo and felt that he was travelling as well, if not better, and gave him his head, and suddenly the wheels span in the heavy track. So he said, look, if we get a firm track, he said, I am going to be absolutely, pumped to be riding this horse against Animo in what is going to be one of the highlight races of the Spring Carnival. So that's, I can tell our listeners at least that the jockey's excited to be on him, even though he's $34 in your markets or 40-1, depending on where you shop. But he's a class horse. He's a class animal. I spent the day with John O'Shea yesterday, who said that he absolutely worked the house down yesterday morning before that rain came, and he got a good surface to work on. So, look, it's going to be surface related, but if it's good track, I'm not going to discourage you from taking the long odds about Maximal each way, and hopefully we can finish the carnival with a bang and get this high price colt a home at stud.
Yeah, listen, what a race. Superb lineup. I think we're looking away from the obvious. Animo has looked uncomfortable, unbalanced, and off the bridle before the turn in both his last two wins at Caulfield and Moonee Valley. I think on the bigger deck at Flemington, on a better surface, I think he's going to quicken better. There hasn't been a big margin between he and Thunderstruck and Zaki and Mahunga. And there's a couple of left fielders thrown in there. What is it? Elliptical and Mr. Maestro. I don't think the 51 is enough for them. I can't see them mixing it with the big boys here. So I've got to stick with Animo. I've got to stick fat. I'm not going into it thinking it's an afterthought race. James Cummings is too good a trainer. They've built too good a profile with this entire. They're not risking anything. They're going there thinking he's just winning again, and I'm with them. And I think Even Money, Black Figures, is a tremendous price. I'm Thunderstruck was super in chasing him home in the Cox Plate. But Enemo just keeps finding a way to beat them. And I think he is the one that will genuinely improve on a better surface. So seven on top for me. Pineapple for the multiples, but go with the champion, the Australia's best horse at the moment. And no, I can't see him being beat.
Great race.
Ah, spring racing is in the air, so why not multiply the excitement with a Ladbrokes Same Race Multi? To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race, find the Same Race Multi tab, and pick two to four runners to finish anywhere inside the top four. Combine multiple runners from the same race to get even greater odds, to get the best Same Race Multi coverage with more races than ever before. Spring racing is in the air. Ladbrokes. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, let's go to the best bets. Rayman's rotary phone is completely cast, so he somehow managed to send a text message from it, which defies logic and technology. Last week, though, Moods, bit of bad luck. Invincible Caviar, scratched. But we'll give you a tick because you won the Golden Eagle, and your payoff is a shitload of cash and a shitload of 4X coming your way. Mytho, you went Lock Eagle, also scratched. Rayman got Surefire Home. And I had Aspura in the last race, which was the get out on Saturday, Derby Day, which got up as well. So we didn't have a loser last week. Only two winners, but didn't have a loser. Rayman's best for this week. He's headed back to headquarters. Flemington, race 9, number 3, Joyful Fortune. So Rayman, race 9, number 3, Joyful Fortune. I am going with I like it each way, but that isn't really how we work best bets. So it'll be a win in terms of the how we mark ourselves. Race 3, number 3, Angry Skies. It's sitting around $6.50. There's a bit of a word around the traps that this bloke's got a fair bit of ability and will absolutely handle any sort of conditions. And we might be on a good track. He might want a bit more rain than that. But Race 3, number 3, Angry Skies, $6.50 around at the moment. Mytho, what do you got from a Rosemont perspective? Were you going outside the gate crasher this weekend?
Well, I probably need to. I don't think I can tip you Maximal as my best against all those champion weight for age horses. The only other horse will spin around unless Traporti gets a run in his fourth emergency is Pounding, which I'll be interested to hear what Pete has to say. But he's drawn 20 in race two there on Saturday. He's probably due to win. So if Moose does elect to run him, he's walked the track 15 times. He's worked out that's a spot to be. But we'll hear from him in a second or two.
That Moody fella doesn't mind to scratch a horse, so just be careful with him. Doesn't mind scratching one, PJ Moody.
The horse that I liked the run of yesterday on Cup Day, and there was a lot of money around for it, but just drew the wrong part of the track, which was the problem for Promise of Success as well, was Dynasties. There was a heap of money for it for the Snowden team, runs in John Camilleri's colours. It's going to back up into the Matriarch Stakes by the look of things. And if it does, I think it's got them covered. It really was cruel by the inside being chopped out there with the rain. The track's played great at Flemington, and hats off to everyone, but you can't help wear and tear when the rain falls during a race day. So Dynasties gets her chance in the Matriarch to make amends. I'll make that my best bet of the day, which is race 5, number 8, Dynasties.
Pretty quiet week for the team, the little boutique stable. We've run out of bullets at Flemington after the big Golden Eagle win. But as Mytho said, we've got Pounding in race 2. I had him in an 1800 Thursday, and just circumstances prevented me running him there. He's come up with gate 20 in a 2000 metre race at Flemington. Listen, if I take him there, it's in the belief that he'll run well, so you can involve him in it each way, because he hasn't run bad all prep, but I don't think he'll start now. Race 5 in the Matriarch, I've got a very nice improving mare. Down the bottom, horse 13, Glory Bound. She ran very well her two runs back from a spell. I think she's going to be very well suited getting out to the 2,000 metres. She's going to be very well suited getting back to a firmer deck. And she's ready to run extremely well. And I just wonder, while I'm on that point, on Champions Day, we've got the sprint, the mile and the 2,000. The probably two things missing, or the three things missing, are a two-year-old, a three-year-old and a mare's. So is this a day that the VRC can continue to build and we can have a champion mare's race? You've got the Empire Rose on the Saturday. You've got various other races. We don't have a feature 2,000-metre mare's race in the country. So maybe this is a race that can the VRC can look to build on as well, the Matriarch. But my best for the weekend, I think Back Glory bound each way all day in the Matriarch, and she's certainly my best personal hope from the stable for the weekend. And I think stick with the two champs, Nature Strip and Animo, maybe include them in your multiples. They're not going to be flash odds, but they're the two best horses in their respective races, and I think they both win again. So, and we know Nature Strip's a fast horse. He loves the Flemington Straight. J-Mac, I think you'll find a bunny there. I think he'll pace himself well. He'll breathe well. He'll get into that lovely flowing motion, and he'll be too strong down the Flemington Straight because he's the fastest horse, and we let them run fast.
Ladbrokes.